Good Monday morning to you, early birds. You have caught The Worm, a podcast bringing you news from Montana and the region from our reporters at Yellowstone Public Radio News and our colleagues at Montana Public Radio. I'm your host, Orlinda Worthington. Today is a Monday, April 24th. Ahead for us today, the capital city setting up vending machines for an overdose drug, cleaning up one of the nation's most polluted rivers right here in Montana, and making Bozeman the best place for birds. Less than half of Montana students are reading at or above a proficient level for their grade. That's according to data from the Montana Office of Public Instruction. A bill that passed the House of Representatives is now in the Senate. It would try to help them catch up. Eleanor Smith with the Legislative News Service reports.
The programs would be optional for districts, but would give them more tools and money to teach kids how to read. Republican Representative Brad Barker from Roberts is the sponsor of the bill. He said the program would be mutually beneficial for parents, students, and schools.
It provides great parental choice, and there's a great business case to provide a big impact for a relatively small investment.
There were four proponents of the bill who said it would be a smart, small, and long-term investment in Montana's kids and future. Sarah Piper represented the Montana Federation of Public Employees. She said House Bill 352 would help address Montana's literacy issue before it gets worse and before kids grow up and get jobs.
We represent the people that work with these students and know deeply how important it is to address literacy early on, and the way we see it, we can invest money early on in getting students up to speed on reading, or we can invest money later making sure they can, because we need that for a successful workforce as they graduate.
There weren't any opponents of the bill at a hearing in the Senate Finance and Claims Committee Friday, and the committee didn't take immediate action. The program would cost the state's general fund roughly $1.5 million to run per year, according to the fiscal note. The House passed the bill in March on a vote of 77 to 22. Experts who analyze trends in education cite COVID as one of the main reasons Montana students are falling behind.
Eleanor Smith is a reporter with the UM Legislative News Service, a partnership of the University of Montana School of Journalism, the Montana Broadcasters Association, the Montana Newspaper Association, and the Greater Montana Foundation. Helena is the first city in Montana to install naloxone vending machines. The program makes the overdose drug available to anyone who needs it, free of charge and free of questions. Naloxone, also known as Narcan, rapidly reverses an overdose of heroin, fentanyl, and opioid medications. Kelly McBride is the director of the Department of Criminal Justice Services for Lewis and Clark County. She said they made the decision to install the vending machines after studying the data on the misuse of opioids and fentanyl,
which is pretty rampant. Data shows across the state and starting to happen in Lewis and Clark County.
McBride says since the machines were put in place in mid-March, they've had over 50 boxes taken.
Yesterday, we had a UPS driver stop and take three boxes. He said he just wanted to make sure that he had it on him at all times. So we've had family members stop and take it. It's being taken advantage of, and we're glad to see that.
The three vending machines were paid for by a grant. The naloxone is provided by the state at no cost to the county. McBride says they have had a few people express disappointment with the county providing the overdose drug for free.
Our response is every life is worth saving. It also provides us with the opportunity to point that individual in the direction of treatment.
McBride encourages everyone in the county to have naloxone on hand. The vending machines are located in the Law and Justice Center, the Department of Criminal Justice Services, and at the Good Samaritan's Our Place drop-in center. Most proposals to amend Montana's Constitution have failed to garner the two-thirds majority vote needed to advance. Amendments that would have given the legislature more power over the state's university system, add a right to carry concealed firearms, and allow the governor to appoint state Supreme Court justices have not received the 100 votes necessary to appear on the next ballot. The Republican-backed proposals passed the House, but were not on pace to pass, as Democrats have adamantly opposed constitutional amendments, and some Republicans voted against them. One bill that passed the Senate with bipartisan support would have created a mental health trust fund, but it was then tabled in the House Judiciary Committee. Another proposal to change the criteria for the state's redistricting process is still alive, although not on track to win the votes needed to pass. There are often a few days in between when a victim of human trafficking or domestic violence gets help and when they can find permanent housing where they feel safe. The House Appropriations Committee is reviewing a bill that would use some of the state's lodging tax income to provide victims a hotel room while they look for a permanent situation. Eleanor Smith with the Legislative News Service reports.
The bill passed the Senate already, and it passed second reading in the House of Representatives on a vote of 97-1 Thursday before going to the Appropriations Committee. Senate Bill 522 would take 0.1% of the lodging and use tax and put it into a grant program administered by the Department of Justice to pay organizations to put victims up in hotel rooms. Republican Senator Daniel Zolnikoff from Billings sponsored the bill, but Democratic Representative Jill Konauer from Helena carried it in the House.
Our hotel and lodging folks have been working to help identify situations where human trafficking is happening because they tend to be in the right place at the right time. That association, those folks that are involved in that, have put together training for their employees to try to help identify those situations. What we haven't had is a great way of being able to pay those folks to actually help on the backside. When we get people out of that situation and they need to be in a safe place and the resources locally are not available, a lot of this industry has stood up and been available for folks to be able to have a safe place to go for a few days until the resources can catch up with them and they can get the resources they need to get out of the situation.
If the House Appropriations Committee approves the bill, it will come back to the House for a final vote.
Eleanor Smith reporting. An annual report from a national environmental organization lists the Clark Fork River as one of the most endangered rivers in the country. The nonprofit says the Smurfit Stone Superfund site is polluting the river, although government agencies have not established the link. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amestoy reports.
D.C.-based American Rivers compiles its most endangered rivers list each year based on three criteria: a river's significance to people and wildlife, the severity of the threats a river faces, and a management decision the public can influence within the next year. Lisa Ronald leads the organization's Western Montana region and says the Clark Fork River meets all three marks. Earlier this year, the Environmental Protection Agency said it planned to conduct more sampling to better understand the toxins at the site of the former Smurfit Stone pulp mill 4 miles downstream of Missoula.
We want to see them follow through on that, and I think part of the reason to elevate this issue is to make the public aware of that commitment to hold the EPA responsible for it.
American Rivers' report on the Clark Fork says cancer-causing chemicals from Smurfit Stone's unlined ponds are leaking into the river. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has for years said similar toxins found at Smurfit Stone are present in fish caught in a 100-mile stretch of river that passes the Superfund site. American Rivers also says the unengineered berms that separate the site's ponds from the river are at risk of failure in a catastrophic flood. In an email, EPA Region 8 Administrator Casey Becker said the agency is committed to investigating and addressing pollution in Montana's rivers. An agency spokesperson added it's, quote, premature to attribute specific sources of the chemicals found in Clark Fork fish before the agency's investigation of Smurfit Stone is complete. A meeting with Missoula County and environmental advocates is scheduled for early May to continue planning the new round of sampling, according to the agency. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amestoy.
A legal dispute in Montana could drastically curb the government's use of aerial fire retardant to combat wildfires. Environmentalists have sued the U.S. Forest Service over waterways being polluted with the potentially toxic red slurry that's dropped from aircraft. Forest Service officials have acknowledged more than 200 cases of retardant landing in water, but they say it's an important firefighting tool and that the environmental damage from fires can exceed pollution from retardant. Federal environmental regulators have improved a plan for protecting western Montana's Bitterroot River from nutrient pollution. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
The 84-mile-long Bitterroot River flows north through the Bitterroot Valley. It's not currently impaired by nutrient pollution, which can create algae growth. This occurs when too many nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus are added to water. It's the only river of its size in a highly populated area of the state that isn't contaminated by the pollution coming from lawn fertilizer, human and animal waste. Officials, residents, and organizations want to keep it that way. The Environmental Protection Agency has accepted the Bitterroot River Nutrient Protection Plan. It was written by the Montana Department of Environmental Quality with support from interested individuals and organizations. The plan recommends voluntary ways of reducing nutrient pollution. Examples include restoring and protecting native streamside vegetation and recommending existing homes and new construction hook into municipal sewer systems whenever possible. The plan is the first of its kind in EPA's six-state mountains and plains region. From Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
About 1,500 people came to see talks, art exhibits, and more at this year's Gallatin Valley Earth Day Festival in Bozeman. It's centered on the theme of wildlife. Yellowstone Public Radio's Olivia Wheats spoke to one group that's trying to make Bozeman one of the best places for birds.
Up to 1 billion birds a year in the U.S. die from window collisions, according to the Sacagawea Audubon Society. Their booth showed people bird-safe windows that make glass visible for birds.
And in this case, just a very simple system. We take a white paint pen. It's actually permanent white paint. And we mark our windows with a ruler or a straight edge of some sort. And every 4 inches, we do a vertical stripe on our windows.
Paulette Eppel with the Audubon Society says there are also ways to make Bozeman's parks and backyards more bird-friendly.
Plant native plants, plant little groves, plant habitat for birds and for pollinators, because birds feed their youngsters insects all through the summer.
Eppel says a lot of bird habitat in Bozeman has been lost to development. Funds from the Earth Day 5K run this year is supporting a 40-acre wetland the Sacagawea Audubon Society is restoring in East Bozeman. This was just one of about 40 exhibitors at this year's Earth Day celebration. Other booths included Montana Native Plant Society, Recycling with Republic Services, and the Gallatin Wildlife Association. For YPR News, I'm Olivia Wheats.
That is the Worm for this Monday. We'll have another episode for you early birds on Tuesday.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.